I touched upon this subject that I'm going to be talking about today in men's ministry. And it's also connected to something that I showed to my youth the other day through a film. But the kind of the origins of this topic is a way that God kind of reminded me this when I was at work. And that's kind of why it's called God at Work, which has two meanings that I'll get through throughout. But as many of you know, I teach high school, and I mention it a lot because it defines who I am. And we really actually need to rethink how we define ourselves by our jobs, and rather how we should define ourselves as Christians first. But I had a coworker of mine who's been with me for a few years, and my wife, because my wife teaches with me, and he just came to me one day, and this was God speaking through him, and he came to me, and he just opened up to me. We talk about a lot of things, but he just opened up to me that he goes through these bouts of depression, and he doesn't know what to do, and he just... Things seem to be okay in his life, but he just goes through these really down periods. And he was coming to me for help. And part of that reason is not only, I think, God guiding him to me, but because he knows I go to church. He knows I'm a Christian. He knows that, you know, over the years, my coworkers, oh, let's go out and this and that. And I'm like, sorry, got to go to church. Can't go Friday night. I teach youth. I have to go to worship. I have to. So he sees, you know, I'm more of a senior teacher, and I have a lot of years of experience, and a lot of these younger teachers look up to me, and, you know, for as far as the profession is concerned, but also they know, they think I'm this perfectly stable person that has no issues and problems. It's, you know, and he just came to me. He, you know, God gravitated and pushed him towards me, and I prayed for him. This was in between class. And I continually pray for him. And I've been inviting him to church, and he's coming up with excuses, so I'm going to keep working on him. Because that's the thing. It's one thing to let people know that God loves them and you're praying for them, but you gotta keep working on them. So I'm actually going to switch here. My son did not remove the password from this, so I'm going to keep having to put the password in. So anybody want to be a teacher here? Backup plan. You always got to have a backup plan. So we'll do it through here. No, it's okay. That's okay. So the title of this is a couple titles, actually. So Work Redefined, how to redefine what work is for us. But the big thing I splashed on is God at Work and the role of work in the life of a Christian. And God at Work has two meanings. It actually means two different things. And part of it is God working on us, as he always does, right? But also, are we bringing God into our workplace? Okay, so that happened, the situation with my coworker, my friend, happened about a month ago, and then I was at youth, and I showed a film. We did a film, because the youth did such an amazing job at the Valentine's dinner. So I showed a film, and I showed a film called Overcomer. And it's a new Christian film. And there's this scene in the movie that it just reminded me of that situation with my friend, but also how much more work I need to do as a Christian. So I want to play that scene for you. And I showed the men's ministry the other day, and that's going to kind of just set us off. There we go. So Jeffrey's going to play that for us. And just pay attention, and it's a really amazing scene that, you know, God used to speak to me.
Sean, if I asked you who you are, what's the first thing that comes to mind?
I'm a basketball coach.
And if that's stripped away?
Well, I'm also a history teacher.
Okay. We take that away. Who are you?
Well, I'm a husband, I'm a father.
And God forbid that should ever change. But if it does, who are you?
I don't understand this game.
It's not a game, man. Who are you?
I'm a white American male.
Yeah, that's for sure. Is there anything else?
Well, I'm a Christian.
And what's that mean?
It means follower of Christ.
And how important is that?
It's very important.
Interesting. All right, so far down your list.
Okay, wait a minute. I could have easily said Christian first. Hey,
yeah, but you didn't.
Look, John. Your identity will be tied to whatever you give your heart to. Doesn't sound like the Lord asked first place.
You're calling me a bad Christian?
Let me be a little direct.
Last time you were here, you said you'd pray for me. Did you?
No.
No. For someone who knows the Lord, you're acting like somebody who doesn't, which makes me wonder. What have you allowed to define you? When you lost your team, it didn't just disappoint you, it devastated you. Something or someone will have first place in your heart. But when you find your identity in the one who created you, it'll change your whole perspective.
So, that scene, and I don't know how it made you feel, but it certainly hit me in many ways. But one of the ways that it hit me, and it's God's way of reminding me that I'm a Christian first, that I am a child of God. But he said, I'm a teacher, I'm a coach. These are all things that I tell people, right? What do you do? What do you do? And I a lot of times don't even tell them I'm a Christian. You know, I leave that out. And that's not what God's plan is for us. God's plan is to preach to the world, right? To tell people, to lead people to Christ, to evangelize. Pastor talks about the need that we need to go out there and preach to people and live a certain way and bring other people closer. Because if we're just living for ourselves and not living for others, then we're not doing his will. So, today we're going to answer a few questions. The first one is, what does work mean to us? How should we think about our jobs? And I mean, by a show of hands, do we love going to our jobs? Anybody here loves getting up in the morning and going to our jobs? I still do. Most of the time. But yeah, a lot of us don't like our jobs. We don't like going to our jobs. So what does our job mean to us? What does our workplace mean to us? And how should we think about our jobs? The next thing is what does the Bible say about the purpose of work? Why do we work? What is the purpose of us working? Work is good. It's not something, you know, it's not something where we should just be going around doing what we want to do and on a constant permanent vacation. We were designed to work. God made us to work. And by the way, if you think you're a young person and you're in youth and this doesn't apply to you, this applies to you because school is the same thing. School is work, right? And you will eventually work. And the last one is, how can we redefine the meaning of the word or the work for the glory of God? So some tips, some hints to try to bring that into the workplace. So as I mentioned before, I am a teacher and I teach history. So I can't help myself, but I have to go into a little bit of history. And this is, you'll see why this plays a part, because we work a lot, don't we? We think we work a lot, right? Not compared to people before. And I have some statistics up here to show a combination of how long people usually work versus how often they went to church. And you'll find something very interesting here. So when they started measuring the amount of hours that people worked, like statistically, was around the turn of the century, the last century, 1890s. And most of the people worked in factories and manufacturing and things like that. It was a very industrial society. So there was a law passed in 1916, right around World War I, called the Adamson Act. And it made an 8-hour workday, okay? So it put some rules in, there was some safety rules, and to make the workplace a better, safer place. But people were working around 100 hours a week. The only time actually they'd get off were Sundays, so they could go to church. Actually, some of the jobs mandated that you went to church. The churches were there right next to the factory. So people used to work 100 hours, and you know how the percentage of people went to church weekly? 70%. 70%. So let's look at today. We work on average 40 to 50 hours. I know there's some people that work a lot longer, but average is 40 to 50 hours. And the last statistics show that 23% of Americans attend church weekly. So what is occupying our time? If people went to church a lot more in the past and they worked a lot longer, why are we going to church less? Well, there's a lot of reasons for that, which we're gonna get into, I'm sure, at some other point, but God doesn't have to just be at church. God can be at work. God is everywhere. All right, so we shouldn't think of ourselves as, oh, I'm just going to come to church or worship. Even the ones who come during the week, it's when you go to work too, you should be bringing God with you. Okay, so if everybody can open their Bibles to 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verses 5 through 6, and I'll give you guys some time to go through there. Is everybody there? Amen. So again, while just to remind us, about a third of our life today is spent at our workplace. Okay, I'm a teacher, I'm a coach, parent, husband. This is all different types of work, and our life is defined a lot of times by what we do for a living, by our job. So we're going to get into the idea that we don't want to be idle in our work, but we also don't want to make idols of our work. So there is a balance to be had. Okay, so 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verses 5 through 6 says, there are different kinds of service, but the same Lord. There are different kinds of working, but in all of them and in everyone, it is the same God at work. Amen. So we have different kinds of work, right? We do different we have different professions, we all do different things, but in all of them, everyone is the same God at work. Okay, we're put in our jobs to love and to serve other people. That is really one of the reasons why the work is something that should translate what we learn in church into our workplace. We can do our job without worry because the gospel frees us to work with joy. Okay, as far as the role of work, what is the role of work? Okay, if we look at Genesis chapter 2, verse 15, I'll give you guys a little time to find that. Amen. So it says in verse 15, the Lord God took the man and put him in the Garden of Eden to work it and take care of it. And of course, this is after God had created the garden. But before man committed sin. So it says, the Lord God took the man and put him in the Garden of Eden to work it and take care of it. So the purpose of man was always to work, even before we sinned, even before the fall of man. All right. In a perfect world, man would still work. So that is a gift of, just like everything else in the Garden of Eden was a gift, the work was a gift from God. It is a gift from God, not a curse. It's not something we get up every day. And I'm guilty of this too. I gotta go to work. Oh, the traffic. Oh, I'm late. I'm running late. Oh, the stress. We look at it as a curse sometimes, but it actually is a gift. I mean, there are people that would love to be in your position who are unemployed. Think of it that way. All right? That are praying. While you're cursing your job, they're praying for your job. So sometimes we have to put those things into perspective. Adam and Eve were given work to do to pick up and gather the blessings that God provided. Those blessings. So when I go to work and I get ready for my class, and Michael knows and Catherine knows as teachers, those kids that come into our class and that environment, those, they're blessings. And we're supposed to pick them up and gather them for God. Our coworkers are blessings. Sin is what made work hard and frustrating. It's the sin of man. It's our nature that has made work hard and frustrating. So creation, it's clear that work is an important part of who we are. Okay, we're to work hard and toil and go through that stress. But again, work sometimes constitute a large part of their waking hours. It's part of who they are. It's sometimes an overriding force. We start to preference work over God. So we devote more time to our work than to prayer. We devote more time at our job. All right, even when we maybe don't have to be there. Maybe there's some overtime or you're trying to make a couple extra bucks, which is fine, but and then you neglect coming to church or connecting with God. Okay, a job is important. It's not God's intention or purpose for us on earth. Okay, it's not his intention for us. So, who do we work for? Who do we work for? Okay, our attitude toward work can be a product of the fall of man. Okay, so sin is, it stained how we work. It's viewed, we view work as kind of a curse, as this hassle we have to deal with. All right, so instead of viewing that as a gift, we may see it as a punishment or an unfortunate requirement to survive, to pay the bills, right? So if we look at Psalm 23, verse 1, and I'll give people some time. All right, put both versions. I know some people have the New King James or New International Version. And sometimes the meaning, people understand the meaning better with one over the other. So in New King James, it says, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. And the NIV is, the Lord is my shepherd, I lack nothing. Okay? So do we really need our jobs for survival? Do we really need to work for our survival? No, we don't. God provides everything. The Lord is my shepherd, I lack nothing. In Matthew 21, verse 22, whatever things you ask in prayer, believing you will receive. God provides everything for us. All right, God is the provider. God gives us everything we need. So work is not necessary for that, okay, when you think about it. Since God is ultimately our provider, our motivation and understanding of work must change, okay? Honorable, meaningful labor is done as an act of worship, right? Not unto a boss or a man or anybody else, but to God, okay? It's unto God that, so when we go to work and we're there and, you know, we're there, obviously it's a gift, okay? It's a requirement for us to work, but it's also an opportunity for us to worship the Lord through our work. And whether it's with students, whether it's coworkers or customers, to connect to people and as we can do, bring them closer to God. In Colossians, man, Bible has a lot of stuff on work. lot of stuff on a lot of things. Pretty much anything you want, anything you need, look it up. It's there. In Colossians chapter 3, verses 23 through 24. It says, whatever you do, work with all your heart as working for the Lord, not for human masters, since you know that you will receive an inheritance from the Lord as a reward. It is the Lord's Christ you are serving. All right, we're not commanded to work for other people, you know, or people pleasers, or, you know, to be seen working, right? We're there for the Lord. We're there for the heart in fearing of the Lord. All right? Working for the Lord, not for human masters, since you know that you will receive an inheritance from the Lord as a reward. So why is it insincere to work for men, for mankind, rather than God? Man is mortal, right? Man comes and goes and lives and dies, right? Man can only observe so much. Okay, if we're only working while others are watching, our work is kind of insincere. We're gonna, you know, I mean, if you think about it, if your boss is not watching you, what happens sometimes? You take it easy, you slack off, you cut some corners here and there. Okay, so we shouldn't be working to please people. We should be pursuing the self-serving pursuit of glory that belongs to God. Our work should point men to our Father in heaven, not to us, okay? If we do that, we're robbing God of his glory, okay? Because we're working for ourselves or we're working for our man. You see people, this is always a problem with celebrities, right? They have a job, they make a lot of money, and then me, all right? And then they don't think. There used to be a time where people would get up in an awards show and they'd be like, I'd like to thank my Lord Jesus Christ and Savior. You don't hear that much anymore, do you? I don't hear a lot of it. But whatever you do, regardless, and here's another thing that a lot of people will say, well, you know, pastor is a preacher and I'm a teacher and some people are police officers. And you know, those things are kind of connected to God's work because you're helping other people. That's not true. Whatever you do, if you work at a department store, if you work in a bank, if you work in anything, you know, in a corporation, in some other industry, that is something that God values. And you can still work for God. You can still glorify him through your work, okay? It's not just those types of jobs that people, a lot of people think are more closely related to God's work. So anytime we attempt to rob God of his glory, we consequently rob ourselves of joy because we make ourselves slaves to the opinions of men. Okay? And I see this in the workplace, and many of you see this in the workplace, where we do our job and then people criticize us for our job, and then we get mad and we get stressed out, and then we care what other people think about us. And that's because you're working for you. You're not working for God. If you're working for God, if you're doing it for the glory of God, you don't care what other people say about you. All right? And that gives you a certain peace. There's a certain peace. There's people that I meet that are very stressed at their job, and everything's a worry and things like that. And sometimes I'm like that too. But if you really think about it and you really sit back and realize why you're there and what your purpose is, you'll have a peace about you. And maybe that means you should pray a little bit more at work, before work, during work, after work, okay? On your way to work, okay? And again, school, all right? Same thing. If you know you're in school and you're there, you're taking that test, you're studying, you're answering questions, do it for God. Don't do it for your fellow classmate or your teacher or anything like that, okay? When you come to church, don't do it for pastor. Don't do it for any of the board members. Do it for you. Do it for God. So, not yet. So in Colossians chapter 3, verse 23, all right, Paul is encouraging us to work for the Lord and not for men. It's driven by our Father's character. It's driven by his commands to work, to take advantage of the bountiful and the plentiful around us. We work because God works. God worked. I mean, if you think about the Garden of it, what did he do before that? What did he do in all those verses before that? He worked. He created everything. Okay? And yeah, you got to rest some days, just like God, right? There's a day to rest. Okay? So we work because God works. So we want to be like our Father. At the same time, he also commands us to work. Okay? We work because we are already accepted to meet the needs of others. Okay? Work is also at home too, right? We wash dishes, vacuum the floor, cook the meals. Thanks, babe. Cut the lawn, shovel the snow. I do that. Although there hasn't been a lot of snow, so I think my wife has been working a little bit harder than me. When the winter comes and there's a lot of snow, she loves to stare out the window with her coffee. With my husband working so hard, she hasn't been able to do that this year. So I think I need to pick up the slack at home. And then I have the excuse, oh, babe, my back hurts. Can I just kind of hang out? I've been working so hard. Okay? So in that work as well, do it for God. Do it because it's part of our character, right? There was something in history that you teach early on in American history. It's called the Protestant work ethic, which was essentially very similar to that God commands us to work, not to be lazy. And it's a big reason why America became such an industrious country and such a wealthy country, okay, an influential country. It's going to start snowing now, probably, after I said that. You watch. So how to glorify God at work. So I'm going to go through each of these, okay? And so we'll deal with dependence first. And you look at the word, and it may not be what you think it is. So I'll explain. So the first one is dependence. If you look at Proverbs, okay? Proverbs chapter 3, verses 5 through 6. And then there's another one. Proverbs chapter 3, 5 through 6. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways submit to him, and he will make your paths straight. So what does that mean? That means without him, you can't do anything. You can't breathe. You can't think, feel, talk, be spiritual, anything like that. Okay? You can't get up in the morning. Pray. Let him know your desperation for him. Okay? Be dependent on God. Okay? Don't be independent of God. Be dependent on God. Okay, in John chapter 15, verse 5, it says, I am the vine, you are the branches. If you remain in me and I in you, you will bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing. Okay, so the fruit, the things that we pray for, the things that we ask for, that is the fruit, okay, that God will give us if we depend on him. And you can only depend on him if you make him first in your life. Not second, not like the guy in the video where he's like, oh, it's kind of, in the bottom here. I'm this, oh, and I'm a Christian too. Okay, make him first. Integrity. We're supposed to be honest people, right? We're supposed to be Christians. That's kind of goes with the name, Christ-like, right? So be honest and trustworthy on the job. Be an example to others, okay? Give a full day's work. Don't slack off, If you're on your break, on your lunch break, don't work too hard sometimes, because then sometimes people take advantage of you. But be honest, be trusted. Be the Christian that you are at church in your job, okay? Not, let me turn it on, let me turn it off, okay? Which we do, okay? We do that. We do that sometimes. And sometimes that's out of fear. Again, what if they find out I'm a Christian? What are they going to think? Right? I've been talking without the microphone, haven't I? So, I don't know. I'm so used to not talking with a microphone that I forget it's here. Skill. Get good at what you do. God gives us gifts throughout the Bible. God gives us gifts. We are all talented in some way, shape, or form. We teach this in school about multiple intelligences, right? that if this kid can't do well on this test, but maybe he's artistic, maybe he's he's a good public speaker, okay? Maybe we're all different. Everybody has talents here. So become, you know, utilize that talent, utilize that skill, okay? The gift of skills, the treasure that is gift, that is the gift, and to be a steward of those skills, okay? The growth in skills is built on dependence and integrity. Corporate shaping, okay? Corporate shaping, you know, when we talk about corporate prayer, the body of the church, the you know, everybody, well, corporate shaping is the workplace, right? The influence that you can have on the workplace, okay? Try to shift as much as you can, and I know some people are concerned about the way Christians are treated in the workplace, but as much as you can, and where you can, try to move that department, that little section of your business, that, you know, that classroom, that your coworkers, try to move them more towards Christ, okay? So you can shape that. Everyone here has influence in the workplace. Everyone here, somebody looks up to, somebody asks questions of. And if you're sitting down during lunch and somebody complains about it, can I pray for you? Can I pray for you? My God, you know, teaches me. And then you can sprinkle that in there and say, I want to pray for you. Can I pray for you? So you can do what's called corporate shaping with that. Impact. Some places don't obviously do something in your workplace it's going to have an impact on you as a Christian, okay? Because then maybe you should rethink the type of job you have, right? Because then if your job is overcoming you as a Christian instead of the other way around, then that's something you have to rethink on the impact that that's going to have on your life. There are certain jobs, you know, that are anti-Christian. Let's put it that way. There are certain things that some people make money on in this world that are legal, that violate our faith. And that's something that we have to seriously think about. Is it having a negative impact on our life? Because the ultimate goal is not to get paid and get that promotion. It's to be with God. And communication. In Psalm chapter 40, verse 16, it says, let all those who seek you rejoice and be glad in you. Let such as love your salvation say continually, the Lord be magnified. Okay, relationships can only happen if you communicate with people, if you talk to people, if you talk to your coworkers. Don't hide, you know, in your cubicle. Don't hide in your classroom. It's good to be social, especially if you're strong in the faith and you know that you're going to have an influence on them more than they're going to have an influence on you. All right, so don't hide, and praise God. Don't be afraid to be a Christian, you know. And love, I mean, that's, okay, so serve others, take an interest in others at work, be known as the one who cares, not just about the lighthearted weekend tales, you know, the things, oh, you know, what'd you do on the weekend, oh, this and that, but the burdens that people have, the painful things that people go through, that example that I gave with my friend, okay? We go to basketball games sometimes. There's a thing as teachers that you do that after school, or there was a you know, retirement dinners, and said those things are fine, and you talk to them. But don't just be with them in the easy things. Be with them in the tough times. Be there for them in those difficult times. Pray with them. Invite them to church. You know, take them out to eat and get a chance to talk to them one-on-one. You know, pastor talks about if we can just save one person, if we can just save one life, then that is an amazing thing as a Christian that you've done. You've led one person. We've all been saved at some point in our life. Somebody did something to bring us to Christ. And that doesn't mean that it shouldn't happen in the workplace. Thanks. Give thanks. Always give thanks to God for life and health and work and Jesus, all the blessings we have, even the bad things that you think are bad, all right? That traffic, which my wife can tell you, I can't stand that traffic in the morning. Man, there's a lot of crazy drivers out there. But you know what? I'm going to a job. I'm going to work. I'm going to be with young people, teaching them. I'm going to be inspiring them. I'm going to be counseling them. I'm going to be with hundreds of other people throughout the day, connecting with hundreds of people. Those are hundreds of people that can connect, that I can connect with and bring them closer to Christ. Be known as a hope-filled, humble, thankful one, Christ-like. If we're not, you know, if we can't be Christ-like at work, then we're just turning it on and off, right? We're just, oh, we're going to be Christ-like here, but we can't be Christ-like at work. And money. Okay, not probably the way you think. In 1 Timothy chapter 5, verse 8, it says, "But if anyone does not provide for his own and especially for those of his household, he has denied the faith and is worse than an unbeliever." All right, so work is obviously where you make your money. You know, you need to get paid, right? It's the way our society works. You pay, you get paid, you buy things that you need. But remember that it's God's, not yours. Okay, that money you made because that job he gave you, those skills he gave you, that life, that breath you take, he gave you that. If you remember that what you make is his and not yours, you're taking a step in the right direction. All right, turn what you earn into generosity. All right, don't work to earn to have things. All right, work to earn to have to give. Okay, so I'll repeat it again. Don't work to earn to have. Work to earn to have to give, to share. Okay, yes, it's an occasional Xbox in there for Christmas time, right? If you do have good grades and things like that, all right? And there's nothing wrong with, again, with having nice things, but again, is what is the purpose of that? Why do you have that? Okay, is it for your own vanity? Is it for you or is it for God? Okay? Make your money speak of Christ as your supreme treasure. That's the treasure, not the money. God is the treasure. So, just to kind of summarize, all right, if we redefine the workplace as not a place where you go and you toil and you know, it's this horrible place and stressful and things like that, but redefining what work means to us as a gift, first of all, as a gift of that God gave us through whatever talents and skills he gave us, through the opportunity. You know, when I graduated from college, I was praying, can I get a job? At the time, history teachers were, they liked their job. I like my job. History teachers don't retire too often. And I was looking for an opening. It's much easier to be a science teacher, a math teacher. There's a lot more openings for those. All right, but man, when you get that history class, people hold on to that. And they, you know, at the time, there weren't too many places that had openings. And I prayed for, and a lot of family members prayed, because I had a lot of family members prayed a lot more than me. And they, you know, God gave me that job, which is where I met my wife. So that was like more than one blessing, right? Okay, so it's something that we need to redefine what work is for us. Okay, if we redefine it in the way the Bible means work to be, then we're going to have more peace. We're going to have less stress. Okay? And again, God at work has two meanings. All right? God at work has two meanings. God at work, if God is constantly at work in you, and you're praying and you're making those changes and you're coming to church and God is working on you, bring that back to your work. Bring God back into work. Okay, God works in you. You bring God to work. Okay, and we don't want to be either idle in our work, and we don't want to make idols out of our work. So the last point is, don't make your job, again, that little clip, okay, because that's what got me. That's how I started to view myself, not as a Christian first, not as a son of God, not as, you know, a follower of Christ, but teacher first, coach first. In fact, and those of you who know me, I gave up coaching. I coached for 7-8 years, and I mention all the time, I couldn't go to a lot of things in church. I missed a lot of Sunday service. Why? Because I coached my son, and in spring, the games were on. I don't regret being a coach to my son, but My son missed a lot of Sunday services. My son missed a lot of, I missed a lot. So I partially gave that up because I wanted to be closer to God. I wanted to come to church more. I wanted to be more involved in church. I want my kids more involved in church. I want my kids in church. And I was making an idol out of at least that aspect. All right. I joked around on the men's meeting. I came with all, I teach at James J. Ferris High School. And I came with all my Ferris stuff. And we do that. We fundraise and the kids, you know, make money and we buy things. But sometimes, again, it's almost like a form of idol worship that you're wearing something and that's the most important thing to you. Right? So it was kind of just a reminder of not to make idols out of your work, not to make that the most important thing in your life. Okay? So that ends my sermon. I hope you guys enjoyed it. I hope, I pray that everybody here got something out of it and was able to connect with the message. And I pray that it helps you guys. Okay? Monday, let's see what happens tomorrow when you guys go to work. All right, let's see if my voice will be in your head. You know, God at work in two ways, we'll see. I pray that it does. I thank you for the opportunity to speak in front of you. And I just want to say a little prayer before I introduce Jumi again to say the announcement. So thank you, Father God.